The Lord brought some scriptures to mind here, and so we just want to take a look at them tonight. And it's going to talk about some things and what the scripture says about things that will happen in the last days. But as the Lord Jesus Christ was there with the disciples before his crucifixion, he told them things in advance that was going to happen to him. So they would be strengthened and encouraged that when it came to pass, he said, that you might believe that I am he. Well, the Lord's done that same kind of thing with the way it's going to be, I believe, in our day. I believe we're the generation. I believe that we are the generation that's going to see the return of the Lord in the clouds. And so that being the case, things are going to get difficult for this skin, okay? But for the new man, it's going to be great. It's going to be great to see the Lord, and it's going to be a blessing for the Lord to work in us that even in difficult times, even in perilous times, as this chapter talks to us, the Lord will work in us and can work in us to help us, okay? I encourage you to consider one thing about our lives. In our country, and with the blessing and provision and everything that we have, the peace that we have, we have wealth just beyond money, but we have wealth regarding property, we have wealth in things, we have wealth in peace, we have wealth and still at this point and locally, you know, stable government and such as that. You can talk to Brother Stephen, having gone down to Mexico, and then others that went down there to Mexico. One brother that went down there on that trip. They said that from the time that they arrived at the airport till the time they left Houston or arrived at the airport at Oaxaca and then got back to Houston, for the entire time it was just something, 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 something. Whether it was there in their midst with a lot of people in the household and all that, preparation to go, but then out in the city there, and as they went on and they made it on up into the mountain, there's always something, something, something going on. It was just always something coming at them. And until they got back to Houston, this one brother said, until they got back to Houston, there was just no peace. There was just no quietness, I guess is what he was saying. And because for those that went, or at least for this brother, Everything that was done was different than what he was used to, and everything that he encountered was different than what he was used to, and it wasn't as comfortable or as peaceful or as, it was just different than his life. And what that speaks to is just the ease that we have. If you want to go someplace and get quiet and take it easy, you can do it. But some nations, some countries, some places are not that way. And so we're rich in peace physically that we can experience that way, okay? We know that sinners are, all people are looking for peace of the soul. That's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have our lives very ordered. We have our stuff very ordered. And may the Lord help us as we do encounter things and maybe encounter perilous times, that when our stuff gets rearranged or things aren't laid out just the way we want it, that we don't blow a gasket or lose our cool or whatever just because of the stuff. May the Lord help us that we have our focus on the right things. The Lord's blessed us with stuff. He's blessed us with provision. But may the Lord help us to have our sight and our vision on things, because as perilous times come to the people of God, our stuff is going to be the least of our worries. Our stuff and our organization of our stuff is going to be the least of our worries. Okay, and so, and I say that relative to what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 6, with food and raiment, therewith be content. We may come to a time that will be where we find our contentment, and we're brought to that place of those words of the Lord being fulfilled in our lives. We've got much more. Look here in 2 Timothy 3. This know that in the last days perilous times shall come, harrowing, disturbing, tumultuous, stirred up times will come. Why? Because, or for, men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous. They'll want what others want. They'll be boasters and brag. How much of this do you see today? Lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, blaspheming God and the Word of God, disobedient to parents. That's the reason we need to instruct our children well, that they not be of that lot. Unthankful. How much unthankfulness do we see today? Unholy, just without any regard to the way of God, without natural affection. How is it that a woman can have an abortion? How is it that a woman can leave a child in a box? How is it that a man can take a child and abuse a child and kill a child without natural affection? How is it that members of families can bail out on their family and leave them destitute, hurting, and without? How is that? But without natural affection. Truce breakers make a deal and go against it. False accusers, they lie. If they can set up and frame somebody to get out of a thing themselves, fine. Incontinent, no control, fierce. We see that today. And you cross somebody and man, they're just ready to get in your face. We can be guilty of it ourselves. And we fierce, despisers of those that are good. A man, a woman, a child of God that desires to live right and to do right and seek to obey the Lord and try to pursue that in a right way, right spirit, not a holier-than-thou kind of attitude. We certainly don't need to have that, but one that's just trying to live morally well before the Lord. Obey the Lord can be despised. Traitors, no loyalty to that, to the truth, and that's where our loyalty should be, is always to God. Heady, that also speaking of being proud and that high-minded, speaking of similar type of things. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we've got a lot of pleasure. We're blessed with it. Just the things that you like to do. We can all, if we want to, in our nation, we can have a hobby or two or three or four and enjoy that. I mean, some nations and some peoples are just looking to exist. They got to work every waking moment just to live. And we're not in that situation, are we? By any means. High-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And may the Lord help us to not take those pleasures and put them over there and they become an idol to us, and that they come between us and the Lord. Having a form of godliness, religion abounds in our day, doesn't it? The world over. There's all kinds. There's more religion than there's ever been. And you can find any cut or any way of religion that you would want. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, he says. For of this sort are they which lead, creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away of divers lust. They take what they purport, their doctrine, what they stand in, and those that are foolish, men, women and men, are led away by it. That every wind of doctrine that the Apostle John talks about in his epistles. That's what these do. They're looking to lead somebody up. They won't be content in just themselves being in wickedness. But even as Proverbs talks about, they can't rest at night unless they've caused somebody else to fall. That's the way these are. We're warned about them and told about them by them. And this, the evidence of these and these pursuits and that is the indication and the reason for the perilous times. Because if you've got folks loving themselves, covetous and willing to take away from others, bragging and proud and blasphemers, don't care about the word of God, and they're disobedient to their parents and they're unthankful and they're unholy, won't they wreak mayhem and madness? They will. Okay? And so we need to turn away from these, and we need to turn away from this way, because they are the type that will go in and creep into a house and lead captive silly women laden with sins. I have not watched it, but a blasphemous, sinful, no doubt, show on TV, I hope you have not even bothered to look into it. I hope, no, you haven't even watched one episode. But just the thought of having a TV show called Desperate Housewives, it's wickedness before God. To purport that women should go against their husbands and to be adulterous and fornicative against their husbands and that, and then feeding the populace with that kind of doctrine and that kind of way. It's a teaching. It's teaching how. It's alluring. That's what this is talking about right there. The creators of that, the creator of that and other programs that teach people a wicked way, this right here is telling just about those people that create that junk. And don't you sucker into it, and don't let your kids sucker into it, because that's what they're doing. And that's the way that stuff does. It creeps right in there. Amen. Now, detective programs and investigative programs. How much junk is on TV about crime? I don't need to learn about crime. Do you need to learn about crime? Are we called to learn about crime? No. We don't need to learn about crime. We need to learn to do the good. And so I find it very interesting how they pursue and they work and all that. But see, those programs have become so graphic and show all the junk and show all the pictures and show all the details and show the nakedness, have the perverseness in it, taking you the name of our God in vain in the course of the program and all that. And for the sake of entertainment, we watch that which is wicked. We don't need educated that way. It's creeping in. As an example. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's right. I mean, we've got knowledge in stuff, and technology is advancing at an exponential rate. I mean, it just is so quick. But none of it is bringing us closer to God. None of our convenience is bringing us closer to God. None of our pleasure is bringing us closer to God. Ever learning. I mean, now there's distance learning of every kind. If you want a degree in something, you can, if you've got an internet connection, you can pursue it. And it's not wrong to learn to be able to work. Make sure that what you learn and how you place it and how you order your life is honoring to the Lord. But ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth about God. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. So don't mess. That's the reason he says get away from them. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You talk to them about Jesus, talk to them about the gospel, talk about the truth of God's word, talk to them about the creation, and they have not a clue. Why is it that we would want to have to do with them? It's by these that the world is just going to be stirred up. It's by these that the perilous times are going to come and come to pass and be against the people of God. But they shall proceed no farther, verse 9, for the folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. The Lord's going to reveal it. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. The Apostle Paul turns from these that he's describing to Timothy. Now he's talking to him about the good way and the good witness. Thou hast known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, and patience. You've known my persecutions, my afflictions, which come to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endure, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. He said, I know about tough times, Timothy, and you know about those accounts. And you know what? The Lord's delivered me out of them all. He wasn't bragging on himself, but it was accomplished in him, wasn't it? And he was faithful. The Lord touched him, commanded him to be faithful. He was faithful, and the Lord worked. He gives the praise and honor and glory for it all to God. It was the Lord's face that in the midst of those trials and tribulations, he sought the Lord's face and the Lord's help. You know, prayer. Oh, may God help us. May God help us that we never forget to pray when we're in perilous times. To seek the Lord's face, to seek the Lord's help, because it's by His working in us that we'll endure. We're called to endure, but prayer is so much the closing of that circle, if you will. And I don't want to talk about or imply a circle of life, but there is that thing that in being, this flesh can do nothing. In our flesh, we cannot please God. But as children of God, we're called to be obedient and to serve the Lord and represent Him for the life that He gives us on this earth. Amen. But then as we evaluate what He tells us to do, how is it that we can come to the end? You hear people as they maybe come near the Word of God, or the gospel is preached to them or whatever. And we've all heard of folks that are saying, well, I just can't commit to that. I can't believe that. I can't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because I just can't be faithful to the end. Yeah, that's right. You can't be faithful to the end. You can't. We can't.
That's right.
And that's an excuse that's used. We can't be. What we're commanded to do as sinners is to repent, believe the gospel, and trust in Jesus Christ. By the Lord saving us and giving us that new birth, He puts His Spirit within. And it's only by Him that we can do anything. But He's promised His children that we will be able to do everything He wants us to do through Christ that strengthens us.
Amen.
Right? And so, but then He says, pray. Prayer is that by which we receive. We receive the command of God to be faithful children. We look at it and evaluate it and says, how can I? But then the Lord, having given us prayer, He gives us that vehicle by which we can make supplication and petition to God for help to do the thing that He's called us to do.
Amen.
That's what I mean by closing it up. We've not saved ourselves. He's saved us. He's called us to a service. In this flesh, we can accomplish it. But then He gives us prayer that we might pray to Him that we would have that which we need to accomplish it. And so when the times are perilous or when the times are blessed, relative to the skin, because all of it is working, one of the messages that Brother Billy preached was to understand and know that all things that are working in my life are to the furtherance of the gospel, whether my skin likes it or doesn't. Okay, because it's by the skin, it's by the body that we say things are good or bad. Right? But by the working and design of the Lord, whether it be His blessing or His taking us or using us or and taking us on for what He wants us to do, and whether we endure sickness or we endure hardship or we have a blessing, all of that is the working of God in us, moving us and taking us to where He wants us to be. And we need to rest in that. He says, yea, verse number 12, He says, the Lord delivered me, in the latter part of verse 11, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But we are called to live godly. We are called to be Christ-like and to pursue that. And if we do, we're going to be abused. Christ was abused. No wonder that His disciples would not be abused. Now, in our flesh and in our skin, we don't lie. Who wants to be abused? Raise your hand. Who wants to be? None of us want to be abused, do we? But if we live for the Lord, we will be. We will be, won't we? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's going to be. But continue thou, Timothy. Continue thou, child of God. This is written to a preacher, but it's good and well for all of us that are saved. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, continue in that, and hast been assured of, knowing that of whom thou hast learned them, namely from the Lord, through His people, through the instructors that He had, through His parents, through His pastors, pastors, through the Apostle Paul, through those that are saved around Him, His teachers and instructors, namely the Spirit of God, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's where it started all. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable for teaching. That's that word doctrine, to be taught, for reproof, for warning, for correction, even maybe rebuke, for correction, as it goes on to say. Reproof, I take that as being one that is maybe having leanings and going down the road of sin, going down a road that's not going to be good, it's not profitable. Reproof says, stay away from that. Instruction is saying, be warned of that. Seems like reproof is one that's leaning that way and heading towards it before they've gotten there, and they're instructed and reproved. Rebuke is after they've been there. Okay, there seems to be those elements that are there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for the teaching, for the instruction in righteousness, for the reproof, and for the correction when we've done wrong, that the man of God may be mature, perfect, grow up in the Lord, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, to live well and live right for the Lord. Look in Daniel chapter 7. There's the warning here and the admonition given by the apostle to the young preacher and to the saints. I mean, we can take that and be instructed by it for sure. Who of us doesn't need the Word of God? We all need it, don't we? We need all those things from it. We need reminded of it. Those perilous times that come our way, it may be that all we've got are the clothes on our back, the food that we maybe are going to eat the next meal, and the Word of God. Now, it's hard for us to consider that that could be the case. And I don't want to paint a picture of doom and gloom. But are you willing to engage that for the sake of the Lord? Because all you got to do, if that kind of thing comes our way, is deny that you know the Lord. It's all you got to do. And there'll be no pressure like that. But there may come a time in our lifetime that those that claim the Lord would suffer. Could be. And this whole thing, as Brother Chad mentioned, this whole thing is unraveling. I mean, it's unraveling worldwide. Look here in Daniel 7:25. I read this passage to you earlier in the year, and seems like since then we've just had stuff come at us. There's stuff, one thing after another, and it's not done. It's not done. I tell you, it's not done. When we think that we would like nothing better than for it to be done, listen, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not done. I'm sad to say. I wish it was different. But in Daniel chapter 7, look here about the man of sin. In Daniel 7:25, we'll not read much of the context here. Verse number 24, it's Daniel 7:24, and the 10 horns out of his kingdom, or out of this kingdom, or 10 kings it shall rise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That the words there, shall wear out, in the Hebrew are talking about affliction, harrying. It's kind of like maybe if you can imagine, you have this aversion to being chased. Okay, I know there's some in our family that when somebody chases them, that it's the same thing as tickling them. Okay, if you just, all you got to do is act like you're going to run after them, and they take off because they just can't handle being chased. And if you chase them and run after them, I mean, they'll just break down. It's just like if you got a kid and you started tickling them to where they couldn't breathe, okay? It's the way it affects them. And so if you can imagine that you have that's that way about you, you just cannot stand to be chased. And then every time you turn around, there's somebody chasing you. Every time you go around another corner and you think you're safe, there's somebody else chasing you. They're harrying you. They're wearing you out. They're wearing you out. Brother Chad, he's been known to be a coon hunter, and the raccoon is out there, if you can imagine that, and then these dog after dog after dog, honing in, closing in, where that coon ends up going from running to going up the tree, because those dogs just keep on them, and go another route, they get headed off, they go another route, headed off. That's what this wearing out is talking about. Just every time you pick up the phone, every time you open up a letter, every time you engage to do this or seek to do that, there's some opposition, some bad news, as we say in that definition of good and bad. This man of sin, he's going to look to wear out the saints. He's going to look to discourage. He's going to look to afflict the people of God. He'll speak great words against the Most High. And not only that, he'll take it out on the Most High's children and wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times dividing a time. That spirit already exists. It already exists now. Because all of society and all the way of the world is against you having a family, raising your children right, and serving God well. The whole world is against that. It's all against that. And the thing is you'll be faced with it in this little detail. You'll be faced with it in this little detail. You'll be faced with it with this peer pressure. You'll be faced with it in this political correctness. I mean, you'll be faced with it here and faced with it there and faced with it everywhere. And that's just going to continue to intensify. Matthew 7. So there are these perilous times. There are these that are looking to lead folks away. There are those looking to press upon the people of God. And just like it always has been with those that have pressed the children of God, the people of God over the millennia and centuries and millennia, all what they want them to do is they want them to ultimately deny God. Okay, I mentioned earlier that we can get out of this pressure that may come our way by all we got to do is deny God and accept that wicked way. And that's the way it was with the martyrs, our Baptist forefathers. Just in a simple thing is saying, I am not going to stand for my children being baptized or dunked. Just by standing in that, they got beat, they got whipped, they got drugged, or worse. All they got to do is say, yeah, go ahead and put them under the water. It doesn't mean anything anyway. They could say that in themselves. It doesn't mean anything anyway for them to put them under water. They said, no, they're not to be baptized before they're believers. Just in a simple thing. So as we would go on over there in 2 Timothy, it said that we should turn away from those that are that way and that wickedness. Turn away from that wicked way. Be aware of those that would want to lead us astray, lead us out. You know, those that creep into houses leading silly women, it says. And that's that way with the women. It can be that way with the men too. John talks about that, believing every wind of doctrine. We need to grow up and mature. How is it that we can know who that is? How can we know how to evaluate whether someone is looking to deceive or they're really in the faith? Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, right? That was a warning that was there too. Well, look here what the Lord says in Matthew 7. How is it that we can know? And in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Okay, same subject, right? Which come unto you in sheep's clothing, look good, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Okay, so here that's what the Lord is telling about. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Okay. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No, that doesn't happen, does it? You don't expect to get peaches off of a pear tree, do you? Doesn't happen that way. So, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. That's the way it works, right? Understand that about vegetables and tomato plants that maybe that you plant and they don't produce anything, right? I mean, we understand about that. That's the example. That's the analogy he's given us. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, verse 18. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, I'm sorry, I went on ahead. But see here, by fruits they'll be known. Well, where's that hallmark passage that talks to us about fruit? Well, Galatians chapter 5 is it, isn't it? Galatians chapter 5, take a look over here. And so these that are going to be involved in these perilous times, these are going to be involved, that are going to be involved in wearing out the saints of God, these that are going to be just pursuing wickedness and their sin and want everybody to join them and follow them in it, and any that want to stand and try to be righteous and obedient to the Lord, be godly, be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, representative of His Word and the Gospel. They'll be despised by these. How is it that we can tell who they are? Well, the Lord says, by fruit, those deceivers and those wicked prophets, those can be known. And look here. Let's look in here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, in verse 19 of Galatians 5, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Talk about those TV programs that are out there and all that wickedness. That is unclean. Don't dirty your mind and your life and your soul and all that. Another thing is those vampire. Well, what's the thing about all the vampire programs and all that? Vampire this and vampire that and vampire the other thing. I mean, it's wickedness. That is devilish. Don't have anything to do with that. Moonlight, right, is one of those things. I've just seen it. I see the ads for it. Sometimes watch Walking Sam's, and then they got a 100-inch TV they're playing, and they got some clip of a movie on there, and it's just filth and wickedness. And don't be involved with that stuff. You don't have a choice about engaging the world, but you got a choice about your entertainment. Amen. One more time. You got a choice, or you don't have a choice about engaging the world necessarily. And our work and our pursuits in this life need to be righteous, okay? So don't be working at a job that you shouldn't be working at. And the Lord doesn't want that of us. But the wickedness that you might encounter with people and their foul mouth and their wicked ways and their devilish thinking and all that, those things are, that's that being in the world that we're exposed to, and that's that way. But your entertainment, you got a choice. Your entertainment is not a must. Don't feed on it. Don't feed on that. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, or the fruit of the flesh, if you will, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, lustful, sensual desire unleashed, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But you want to find out about those false prophets and those deceivers and those wicked ones that said, that's what they will ultimately end up in. That'll be the working and the preaching and the teaching. Remember how it said that these are they that creep into houses and lead silly women captive, caught up in divers desires, right? Because what they're ultimately going to end up doing, those sheep clothes in wolves' clothing, they're always going to appeal to the flesh. That's where they're going. That's where their doctrine is going to end up, is appealing to the flesh. Amen. They're going to end up appealing to what is sensual, what's convenient, what's appealing, what's easy. That's where they're always going to end up at. And we need to know that is the case. But the fruit of the Spirit, the Lord said, by their fruits you shall know them, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Remember how it said that they were incontinent and fierce? Well, here it says here that the fruit of the Spirit is going to bring self-control, amongst other things. It's going to bring gentleness rather than fierceness. And that's how we can know who's of the truth, even when the times are getting perilous. It's easy to manifest the fruit when everything's great and we got all our stuff in order. But when something comes along that stirs it up and gets it out of whack and gets it out of shape, then is the test. And then ultimately one day, when we're put to the test for what we believe and what we trust in and seek to obey and follow Christ, then we'll really be put to the test. Because that'll be the ultimate strain. And may the Lord help us that we not, it's kind of like the test of our faith and the test for being a child of God that may be put upon us, that should be where we would be most tempted to lose it. Okay? That should be the greatest strain. But if we down here, because our stuff gets messed up, burned down, stolen, whatever, or our life gets out of order, or our organization falls apart, and we lose it on that, we won't have it to endure that. You understand what I'm saying? We won't have it to endure where the real test is going to be. May the Lord help us. You know, I'm not saying I've got my act together, and then I'm the one that's, you know, qualified to tell you. I may need you to remind me of the same thing. Okay? Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law, verse 23. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. See, quit listening to the body. Quit listening to the skin. Quit estimating things good or bad by what the skin endures. Oh, that's impossible, Brother Jim. Yeah, you're right. Because we're so connected to it, aren't we? That's where we need the help of the Lord, isn't it? That's where we need to seek the Lord's face in prayer. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we're saved, let us walk in the power of the Lord. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Quickly, I just want to read over here and turn over here to Luke chapter 21. Advice given by the Lord Jesus Christ for latter days. Okay, this is direction and instruction. We're just going to skip through this chapter. In Luke chapter 21, just look at this. Rich men are cast into the treasury. Luke 21, verse 1. He saw a widow casting in what she cast in. He said she cast in her living and of their abundance they cast in, but of her penury she had cast in all the living that she had, and she was more blessed than they. And they talked about the temple, and they talked about those things that were there, and how the Lord, and what the Lord told them about how it's going to be torn down. And he's talking about Titus coming there in 70 AD to tear it all down. They ask him about when it's going to happen. Verse 8, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights. And great signs shall there be from heaven." Stuff that will strike fear into people. And he's telling this to his disciples, and he's telling them to them because they are Jews, okay? "But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Now, those things are going to happen. Those things happened to the apostles, happened to some of the disciples, and also is going to happen to some of the Jews that are going to be there in the end times, and has happened to the saints all through the course of centuries and millennia. "And it shall turn to you for a testimony. You'll be a witness of me. Settle it therefore in your hearts. Do not to meditate before what ye shall answer." Don't think about it. "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or doubt or nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks." That's how perilous it may get. "And friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish." Because he's talking eternally, isn't he? Right. "In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem," this is speaking to them as Jews, "compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which were in the Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which were in the midst of it depart out, and let not them which are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, for all these things which are written may be that all these things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. There shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There'll be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And this is relative to the Jews. It's one of those prophecies that covers a couple different times. But namely, he's now getting into speaking to what's going to happen to the Jews. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, talking about when the Lord returns and puts his feet on the Mount of Olives. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now this is given to the Jews, and in the greatest context is about them. And what the Lord says is, when it gets perilous, look up. When it gets tough and hard for the sake of righteousness, look up. Look up. When it gets hard because you are a child of God, because you've been saved by Him and He's called you and made you His own, and He's namely speaking to the Jews here. This context is that. But His advice to His children that were Jews, and what He tells to those Jews that'll be there, In that last day when the Lord comes to deliver Jerusalem, He says, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And so when it gets perilous, what's the Lord's advice? We need to look up. We need to look up to Him. That's the point. And we see the same thing here, this more directed at us that live in the day in which we live, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know this account. With this we'll close. Look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse number 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope, those that have died in the Lord and gone on before us. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you? I do. He died and rose again for me.
Right.
I believe that. He was thinking of me that day. I believe it. I needed it, and He did it for me. And you that are here and saved, you believe the same thing, don't you? He did that for you that day. In those days. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him, those that have died and gone on before us. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them. We won't hinder them which are asleep in the Lord. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Brothers and sisters, when it gets perilous, may the Lord help us to look up. When it gets perilous, may the Lord help us to estimate and value what is important. And when it gets perilous, may the Lord help us to look up. Look up to Him in supplication, one for another, and for help for ourselves, and look up to Him for His return. Okay? So, there's things that have gone on and things that just seem to go on. We've got several that are sick. We've got Sister Patty and Brother Nikki with very, very serious things. Brother Jerry and Sister Brenda being called away from this massive stroke of this woman that's 46 years old. Unless the Lord intervenes, she's going to die. And yesterday, I'm sure she thought she's just going to live forever. I pray the Lord to get him, be involved and work. That's my prayer, that the Lord would intervene. But this going on and that going on, other things going on, the news about Brother Bert, as an example. May the Lord help us. Amen. To look to the Lord.